You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Two media insiders and Mark Sessler.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. It's Around the NFL. And my mania is I'm mad that Greg somehow claiming to be a media insider. Man hasn't broken anything in his life but some dishes in the kitchen over here.
What's the track record? But I also don't like how it went for me.
Well, it went for you the worst.
This is like the lock competition. I just win.
Dan, Greg, all the guys.
I just win. All right. Here we are. Week 14. Can you believe it?
It's juicy. I can. It feels like a lot, like another life that we were like getting ready to go to London, and that was week 6.
Got that expense report in just under the deadline, by the way.
When is it? I have not filed it yet. When is the deadline?
You're taking the loss. Hurry up on it.
Had I even filed it, I can promise you, I was taking it in a massive L to begin with.
We have this is the last bye week, and it's the Cardinals, and it is the
Commandos
on bye, which
Commies.
Is. Interesting because those teams, there's very few teams that are out of it because of just the nature of the bottom of the playoff fields here. Everyone seems to be pretty much alive for the most part, but those two teams aren't. So we're going to talk about a lot of games that, while not all of them are gorgeous in terms of matchup intrigue and allure, they all have meaning for the most part. So, I mean, does everyone have playoff?
Yes.
Single game.
I would say, looking up and down the roster.
Yes.
Because my concern is there's no way not to discuss each of these games at length. like the film Gandhi, if you've ever seen it, was 3 hours and 11 minutes long,
right.
Starring Ben Kingsley. I believe this show might equal that runtime based on the fact that no games include
that's a challenge.
Two stinkers.
That's a challenge.
It used to be you would use cite Gandhi as a long movie.
Yeah. But now it's like.
But now like an Iron Man movie, 7 hours.
It's manageable now.
And it's just, can we just.
Yeah, it's manageable.
Rein it in.
Yeah.
Holly Weird. Got that one. All right, let's get into it. We have the draft coming up, but let's start with the primetime games.
Let's start with the best game of the week.
Yes, there are two incredible games on the schedule, and I mean incredible. And I have to give a little pop to the AI schedule makers. You know, for years we heard about the sweaty men in the office on Park Avenue, locked in there for months at a time.
Men and women.
They still are
men
doing
and
that.
Women.
Actually, I used to visit that
ally.
Room. There weren't any women. So that's a bad job by the NFL.
Problem. That's a problem for the NFL.
I worked right next to it. It was three men.
They just stuck them in
typical
there.
Typical NFL.
It was actually, they sealed the door. They opened up a latch. It would slide in food and drink and come out when the schedule makes sense. We don't need to do that. And then Peter King would write a glowing profile, and away we go. Now you got the robots handling it.
Yeah.
And the robots have been doing it. Have anybody noticing the back end of this regular season schedule? There is a hammer drop of a game or two every single week. Robots.
Yeah, took,
give the robot the credit.
It took that technology to handle this.
So let's start with Sunday Night Football. It is the Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys. It is, yes, certainly one of the most important and impactful games on the schedule this season, because it really, and of course there's a big three here, the San Francisco 49ers, who just did their business trouncing the Eagles, dropping them to 10-2, and making this a real foot race now for the number one seed, the all-important number one seed. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but I think the number one seed that gets the home field advantage, that might be the difference between these three great teams. It's that important to get that number one seed. So now it's the Eagles looking to hold on to first place in the NFC East, and the Cowboys, Greggy, looking to tie them, which a couple weeks ago didn't seem possible, but the way the schedule set up, here we
go. It did seem possible. On this podcast, the night the Eagles lost, I actually said, keep an eye out. When these two teams play again, it's not in that long. They'll probably be playing
Barry
for
Horowitz.
NFC East.
Here we go.
I should have had that clip played.
I was just setting it up for fun, but yes, you win, Greg.
I'm just saying, the Cowboys' chances of getting the division, though, are over if they don't win this. So this is as big a game as any team has this week. And the Cowboys are favored by 3.5 in this game. That's pretty spicy. The over-under is 52.5. That's spicy. And I think the Cowboys are favored, despite their recent history against the Eagles, because there's such clear concerns for the Eagles. The secondary and the linebackers, we've talked about that. It's just not, it's a whole group of players on this Eagles team that's playing below average. All the defensive numbers over the last half a season, basically eight games, are below average. They're a mediocre defense, and it's all because of that back end, and that back end having to match up against Jake Ferguson, and who played really well against them, and the guys for the Cowboys passing game. And then it's the offensive running game. They're just not a great running team right now. They're not consistent enough actually trying to run. Part of that is Jalen Hurts isn't doing it as much, but a lot of it is just not committing to it and not being as explosive with DeAndre Swift as they were early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, we have this recent evidence of Philly's defense, which, you know, last year was such a dominant strength, being completely shredded by the other premier team in this conference. And Dallas right now is playing at that level where if you had doubts about them before, I don't now. And I mean, Dak Prescott in his chase for the MVP has been the most effective downfield thrower over the past month plus. He's been the best quarterback on third down. I feel like the stars in Dallas, like their top heavy elements of the roster, have been shining. And it's like if you look at home and road splits, don't really matter for chunks of teams, but it does. They do matter for the Cowboys. They have just been simply dominant at home. And I guess in another universe, back in the 80s or 90s, I'd be concerned that their head coach, Zaddy, Mike McCarthy, has been out with an appendicitis.
I don't
scenario.
Love that.
I don't love it. Yeah. But the thing is, he's already back. And because now, you know, one thing that Weiss told us about appendix operations now, they just stick a little tube into you and suck that appendix out. It's much easier.
He's got,
doesn't sound easy to me.
No, but he's home. He's already home on Zoom.
What's wrong with your insides?
He's already home on Zoom meetings. Like, it's like, how does that really matter anymore?
He's also got Dan Quinn, Brian Schottenheimer, Mike Solari, who was around with like the Cowboys in the night. He has a very experienced coaching staff, is my point.
Yeah.
This is the biggest game of the year for the Cowboys. The head coach, who's the head of the enterprise, he was doubled over in agony at some point, I'm sure, on Tuesday.
Well, they said
he's going into the hospital.
Dan Quinn said, like, he walked by. At one point, they encountered each other because, you know, McCarthy went to the office. And have you ever, like, encountered someone that was about to get a...
I have not.
I have when I was a child. And it's like, it's a ghost. The person becomes a ghost.
So saying, like, yeah. That doesn't sound... It seems like a bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
But they also... There's a reason why Dan Quinn's making, like, $10 million a year or whatever. Like, they have a nice staff in there to hold it down. So I'm not too worried about that. The Eagles, despite their issues on defense, which are considerable, they have allowed over 260 passing yards per game. They've already allowed 27 passing touchdowns to their opponents this year. That's bottom four in the league. And Prescott, even in that narrow loss to the Eagles, lit him up for 374 and three touchdowns. It really sets up well here for Prescott, not only to have another big game and move his team into first place, but also really, I think, take, with all due respect to your boy, Brock Purdy, I think he becomes the MVP favorite with a big game and a big spot here. The Eagles, though, they hold it in their hands. We've been talking about it for weeks, this killer slate of games for the past month. They home against Cowboys, at Kansas City, home Buffalo, home 49ers, at Dallas. If they win this game, bye-bye Dallas, because they will have swept them the head-to-head. And then they come out of that gauntlet. They have at Seattle, home Giants, home Cardinals, at Giants. They can win out and win the conference, and that is what they're thinking right now. They don't even give San Francisco a chance, who already have their third loss.
Mm. At Seattle, not an easy game, though. I mean, the Cowboys...
Not as hard as it looked.
I mean, it's the right
I hear what you're
it's
saying,
right
but
spot.
We're saying how great the Cowboys are at home, and they just gave up 35 points and had to win at the buzzer against the Seahawks. The part of that schedule that worries me most for Philadelphia is just the fatigue. It's not just the fact that the Cowboys are on extra rest, and I've been on the extra rest bandwagon all season, and they've got the extra rest in this game, which I think is important. It's more the mental extra rest of the Eagles have been playing these great teams week after week after week after week, and different injuries have been stacking up for them week after week, and maybe Dallas Goedert's back for this game, but I need a little more out of their star pass rushers. That's who's looked fatigued to me, and they're playing a Cowboys offensive line that's been peaking, because for all the attention on the back end, like, the guys up front need to be special, and Jalen Carter's been great, and like, it's not a single person that's been bad, but as a group, they've just been good, and they need to be amazing. That's sort of how their team is built, and if they're not amazing, Dak's going to have a ton of time, and I just have zero concerns right now about this Cowboys offense. I think, I'm not going to bring out the rainmaker, but the over-under, to me, this is going to be a score fest. I just like both of these teams to score a lot.
Can I ask a dumb question? Because I don't like, I kind of hate this conversation, but it's like, Dak Prescott, you can like look at EPA, you can look at all these stats and all this stuff, and he lines up as an MVP. But like, go back to the days of like Troy Aikman, like quarterbacks from the past who would win these awards. It's like,
I don't think he ever won an
award. Well, but I mean, but I would talk about like Cowboys quarterbacks, like in huge moments against division rivals. Like, Dak cannot go 0-2 against the Eagles and make a large argument to win MVP based off of metrics and stats and a bunch of PFF.
Probably true.
You got to win this. I mean,
gotta win.
Also for the story of the Cowboys. And it's not just on, it's for the entire team. You cannot go 0-2
They've played the easiest schedule in the NFL, according to DVOA so far, the Cowboys. So yeah, they need a big time signature.
Well, that's a great point, Mark.
You know, to his credit, he had to put up 40 to beat the Seahawks.
I'm not even making a point.
He had to score.
Cowboys should win this game?
He had to score a touchdown in every drive against the Seahawks, essentially, and he did it. He had to put up 40.
Well, he's been doing it.
Yeah.
Like, but this is kind of where it intersects.
Can Deron Bland respond a little bit, too, by the way, after a disastrous game? Because that's where the Eagles can put up 30-plus. I think they still have big-time edges.
He's getting killed this week, and it's like, I'm sorry, could he have not done more for this team this season?
Hey, that's life. With the Dallas Cowboys, Greggy revealed as an anti-iron sharpens iron guy in a big spot. All these
that
Eagles matchups against big-time teams. A little iron sharpens iron?
I'm just saying.
You think not?
They're, like, getting fatigued. I could see them losing this game and still making the Super Bowl, but, like, this is the little part of their season where they're just a little...
You don't think the Giants and their players are fatigued, who they play twice? Like, the Giants players are, like, Get me to.
They're coming off a bye. I'm just saying, you play the best teams week after week, and all these snaps.
But just in terms of physics,
yeah,
would iron sharpen iron?
I think that's how it works.
I think that's technically true.
Why don't we just leave it there? That's a good way to end the analysis of the game.
Yeah, from a metal angle. Yeah,
like we nailed it.
Yeah,
buttoned it up. All right, the two Monday Night Football games. So let's start with the one that doesn't look too good in terms of competitive angle. The Tennessee Titans traveling to Miami to face the Dolphins.
Miami.
So I think we mentioned, yeah, the Cowboys getting plenty of love from Vegas. The Dolphins are getting 13 here. And they're getting 13 here because of what they did to the Commanders. Now, Washington is a joke defensively. And we know that. And they have a secondary that's as bad as any team in the league. So that was the perfect setup for Miami to get right and once again say, look at us, we're the bad boys. We got Tua, the MVP candidate. We got Tyreek, the MVP candidate, 2,000-yard contender. Can they do it again in primetime, or does Mr. Vrabel have something up his sleeve, Dark Sessler?
Well, I don't care what's up his sleeve. Like, I think you've got major problems dealing with the Dolphins' offense. Sam Munson from PFF, I loved what he said about watching that Commanders game. and this happens to other teams too, that it looked as if the Commanders' defense had never seen Tyreek Hill before, that they went out there to play a football game and had never encountered him on any level. And like, I think he does that to teams. And it's
interesting,
like,
strategy, Cotton.
Well, yeah, this they have a cheat code here. And I think the Tennessee Titans, you know, at home have been tough, but I don't like the situation at all for them. And you're talking about, actually, I think with Jalen Phillips out, I still think this Dolphins defense has been competent. It looked good last week. Guys like Andrew Van Ginkle are like stepping up and firing off. And like, I think this is where the Dolphins kind of dig in and say, we're not going to relinquish this spot in the AFC.
Weird spot. Two games at the same time. So different than the other Monday night doubleheader.
Is that only annoying to me? I know it annoys you a little bit, Dan. But like,
that kind of knocks it out. You got one screen there and you got one screen on the TV and away we go.
Now you're pro. Like, double Monday night game.
Hey, well, now it's week 14.
It's weird to drop it in suddenly in week 14. I think the ESPN is showing you they value Packers Giants higher because that's where they're sending Buck and Aikman. We got Fowler, Riddick, and Orlovsky and Rutledge. I've liked this group too. This Dolphins offense, like we know who they are, and this is the perfect matchup. The Titans are a great example of Mike Vrabel not having anything up his sleeve, by the way. His defense is traditionally in Tennessee a little disappointing, and how useless it is, the Patriots are another one, to have a great run defense because they're the number one run defense in the NFL, and they're 30th against the pass. Like, where is that going to get you overall? Like 25th. It's not like it balances out to being average. It balances out to being terrible. They give up so many big plays. I think the Commanders are one of the only teams that give up more big plays. So it's a perfect matchup. Being able to stop the run doesn't really matter that much against the Dolphins, who still will run well. And I'm with you. The defense has been excellent. The numbers would say the Dolphins are one of the best defenses in the league over the last 7 or 8 weeks. That's largely, I believe, because of the matchups. But it just shows that they're a very good defense, that they've caught up with their guy, Vic.
And that's kind of a trait of Fangio defenses. Take a little bit of time to season, and then they get rolling. Tyreek Hill leads the NFL with 1,481 yards, 12 TDs already. He is 300 yards clear, 299 to be exact, of the next closest receiver, which is CeeDee Lamb. So he is, you have to have any chance, and it's happened, by the way. So let's not act like, because the Commanders are a joke, let's not act like no one has been able to take Tyreek Hill out of the game plan in any way. Like, he's had games that where he wasn't completely out of control. So if you can do that, you force Tua to look elsewhere. But here's the thing, like, the fact that you can now bring Achan out of the injury mix, and he immediately goes over 100 total yards with two more touchdowns with all that speed. He might be the second fastest guy. It's almost unfair. So it's really Mike McDaniel has this, all these weapons, and the Titans have to find a way to just hold them down and hope Derrick Henry has one of those turn back the clock games. I think that's what it comes down to. Unless you think Will Levis has another big time game in him. But I'm not so sure we're going to see that.
Will Levis is a very interesting watch, and there's some hope there for the future. I just don't think it happens this week. And again, to the Dolphins' defense, they've allowed under 21 points 5 games in a row and under 17 in 4 of those. They're amping up, and so you're asking the Titans with a rookie quarterback. And Derrick Henry, you know, it sounds like he'll play, but he was banged up last week in the protocol and all that business. And like,
I think they said very strangely,
he did not have a concussion.
They said he was not in the protocol,
but he played well last week. So they still have that, awesome. But it's like, in general, like, you're asking teams against Miami that leads the league with 6.9 yards per play, which is the most by any team in the Super Bowl era outside of the Kurt Warner Rams in 2000. To keep up in a massive boat race.
Housekeeping, they gave Austin Jackson, the Dolphins, a 3-year, $36 million extension with 20.7 guaranteed, according to our guy, Ian Rapport. A little surprising based on how his career started, but they're sort of splitting the difference of trying to get some good value as his career
that's up there with
has improved.
With Dan's salary.
It's in the ballpark. Really, my agent did incredible work. The Dolphins also have destiny in their hands, certainly in the AFC East. So if they just take care of business and they beat the Titans on Monday night, stomp the Jets at home the next week, that gets them to 11-3. And then you put it in a situation where the Bills basically have to go nuclear, not lose again. and including that week 18. So just take care of your business in the next 2 weeks, and you basically close off Buffalo from making week 18 dramatic. Okay, final game. Greg, you mentioned it. It's Packers favored by 6.5 over the G-Men. This one's at the Meadowlands, and they're a little bit we know the Packers side of thing, and this is, yes, as you mentioned, Buck, Aikman, Salters. We know that the Packers are playing at a very high level. They are the team that kind of is arisen in the NFC as the real interesting 500 team, and they feel like a team that could just keep winning, and all of a sudden they're the team you don't want to see in the playoffs. The Giants are the Giants. I'll just mention, Greg, that a little bit of a surprise, Tommy DeVito, who was kind of a almost like the mascot of this lost Giants season, and all those Italians in Jersey loving it. He's keeping the starting job for another week, even though Tyrod Taylor is healthy. Taylor not thrilled about it. I get it.
Kind of heartbreaking for Tyrod Taylor. He's just had so much bad luck through the years. You could see the disappointment. You know, he breaks his ribs right when he gets a chance to start, and then DeVito comes in. We might see Tyrod again, but DeVito's played well enough that you can't kill them for just keeping it going. He's also going to be on the team next year.
It's like a gift to the Giant fans. Like, we know we botched the season. Well, here's DeVito one more week.
He's a potential
right. It's development. Exactly. He's a potential backup on this team next year, and Tyrod's probably not on the team this year. They did win two games before their bye, and they do have Saquon Barkley here against what's been a shaky, historically shaky Joe Barry Packers defense. So if you were looking to keep it closer than 6.5, like, that is your route to do it. The Giants have been a little feistier lately.
I mean, I think the Packers are sort of like the story of the past 2 or 3 weeks in the NFL. And like this, we talked about like the Texans being the AFC version of that. And the Packers, I think Matt LaFleur has coached the two best games I've ever really... I give him more credit over the past two games than I would have at any other point in his career in terms of, like, coaching up a young quarterback. You want to talk about quarterback development. Like, Jordan Love is becoming this, like, star before our eyes. And they've found a way, like, team building-wise, to surround him with all these young players.
People are ready to run him out of the building, LaFleur, about a month and a half ago. It's just so funny. You need to have patience.
That's how it works.
Let the coach work with a young quarterback.
I'm not quite certain what they can accomplish. I guess you worry about a young team like this. Could there be like a letdown game on the road on Monday night? I don't know. I mean, they keep going left and right and like showing who they are over and over.
You're not sure what they can accomplish.
Because I think I think they could go win multiple playoff games in a weird NFC.
You think they're in the neighborhood of the big three?
I think I don't know right now.
I can't go that far. I can't go there with you.
I know, but like that's
winning
what I'm
multiple
saying.
Playoff teams, but games a month means from now, beating one of those big three.
I think that's possible.
Maybe two.
I think it's possible. Well, I think you get into a wild card round game,
but
and
that's
you knock
gonna
off
be
one of these ham and eggers. Yeah. And like and then they could beat the Lions, for instance.
But that's not how the seeding works. They're going to be playing one of those teams.
I think they
unless
can do
they
it.
Win the division.
I think they can do it. Like
unless they win,
they
the
just
division.
Beat the Chiefs.
Hey, I didn't. Not
we're,
saying,
we're talking about
not
the Chiefs,
you're wrong.
But we're talking about the Chiefs.
It's not crazy.
Super Bowl team, and they just beat the Chiefs.
This feels
like
a little
and it's
recency
also,
bias to say that all of a sudden
fine,
they're
it's
in
also,
that club.
It's not just Jordan Love and the wide receivers. Like their defense, it's the whole team seems to be growing together at once. And it's like I think that that's the kind of team in a weird NFL, in a bad NFL, in a mediocre NFL.
Ouch.
Like they could, it is like they could like go in and steal a playoff game or two. No problem. I don't have a problem with that.
Potential big loss that Christian Watson, that hamstring injury did not look good to end Sunday night football, and he's not practicing. But they could get back Aaron Jones and Jaire Alexander. So you're losing one of your best players, but you are getting back two of your best players. And you're right. Like Jordan Love, to me, is one of the top five stories of the season right now, his arc. We actually talked about that contract, the way it was locked in a couple months ago. It's like, no, they're not going to get rid of him probably no matter what, because the contract is sort of splitting the difference enough that where it's really not that much. Now that contract looks like a bargain, and there's actually talk of like, do we want to extend him right now? Do we want to don't even worry about keeping the bargain next year? You'll probably wait till the offseason, but that let's just get him signed up long term. It's kind of crazy. You're right, how much 5 weeks changes everything.
I just to make it clear, I am also enjoying this Packer rise. But I also think the NFC has the top three Super Bowl contenders, like across the entire league. And so for them to get to that point would be surprising to me. But if they get a nice matchup in round one and they can they beat the Lions or something in the wild card round? Wouldn't stun me.
Yeah,
that wouldn't stun me.
All I'm it would
but they got to get there first.
It would be shocking if they knocked off the Cowboys or Niners or Eagles. It would be, but can they win a playoff game? Are they that kind of team? Absolutely. Like that. Like literally, wouldn't surprise me. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like
we have 5 weeks to talk about it, but that Packers Lions end of the season matchup, just like last year, could set up a potential rematch, and again the Lions might have a chance to kind of knock the Packers out. Which
and I think it matters that they're really well, like they are. I think Matt LaFleur, who I always thought, like, are you just riding on the coattails of Aaron Rodgers in years past, two MVP campaigns? Like, I think this is a good coach. Like, I think he's proven this year the same way that Sean McVay to me has, that he's done a lot with what people thought wouldn't be much.
Jordan Love getting hot in Philly in an early round game, I could see it.
The Jets beat Philly.
I mean,
crazy stuff can occur down the road.
Absolutely. One game.
Let's take a break, and then we will get to the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back to Around the NFL, the Week 14 preview. It is time now for the first overall pick presented by DraftKings. And I'll tell you what, I have had bad luck. Whenever I'm up first, there never seems to be a banger. Finally, that comes to an end because...
You picked a lot of Eric Fishers.
I got a lot of Eric Fishers over the past few years, a lot of Luke Jokels. Now it's time to pick the Buffalo Bills traveling to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. The 6-6 Bills, who have had 2 weeks to just sit with an absolutely horrific 37-34 loss to the Eagles, a game they desperately, desperately needed, and somehow they find a way to lose that game in overtime. And it's a real test of Sean McDermott and that coaching staff and their ability to have this team locked in, prepared, and ready to win this game. Because if you don't win in Arrowhead, you gone. You got to find a way here, Greg. And I know you were saying don't count out the Bills. I'm not counting out the Bills, but they can't keep losing every week. And then we're saying, oh, well, they got to run it. And they, at some point, you're going to have to really show the world who you are. And I have to go, when's the last time, Greg, the Bills showed the world that they're the Bills? You might have to go all the way back to week 4 against the Dolphins when they had a big time opponent and they said, this is who we are. They need to do that here. And the good news here, Greg, is that the Chiefs are vulnerable. We don't need to overstate it at this point because, yes, their defense is very good, but Josh Allen is a cheat code. When he's playing at a high level, he can make the Chiefs look mortal on defense. And we know if this turns into a shootout, it's crazy saying this, but Mahomes at home, I don't think he could keep up in a shootout. I'm challenging the Kansas City Chiefs to keep up in a shootout in 2023. Because at a certain point, you are who you are, and that's what they've shown us all year.
It just makes me feel uncomfortable to hear.
As my mother would say, don't spit
words.
In the sky.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not anti-Chiefs. It just feels very strange. Like, they're only favored by 2.5 in this game. Over-under is 47.5, which is very, very low for these two teams in the past. And this is, going into the season, maybe the worst version of the game. This game that you would expect. 8-4, the Chiefs aren't great on offense, 6-6 Bills. And yet, because of that, it actually puts more real weight on it. Yeah, like, it's important to get seeding and all that, which this game would have been in previous years. But it's like the Bills' season is on the line. Their disappointing run, their lackluster defense with a ton of injuries, their erratic offense with Allen for 5 or 6 games of this season, I think being the best quarterback in the league, but the other games, obviously, that not happening, including Philadelphia, which, to me, that was a sign of like, oh, is he going to do it? Is he just going to start running all the time now? And is he going to put this team on his back and just be the best quarterback in the league? Because about halfway through that Jets game, through that Eagles game, that's what I felt he was. And so I'm with you. Even though the Bills are underdogs by 2.5 in this game, I like the Bills in their last stand. And every time I do this against the Chiefs, I get it wrong, you know? Like, whenever you doubt them, like, in a home big spot, although they did lose to the Eagles, you know, that was only a few weeks ago in a big spot.
You picked those Bills, too. You're dying in that newsroom.
Yeah, and I'm not giving up on them. I'm still thinking that they can get it done. And again, an extra week of rest does not hurt at this time of year.
It is interesting to think that, you know, coming out of this weekend of football, either the Chiefs will be 8-5, or the Bills will be 6-7. That wasn't something that we saw coming. So you're right. The stakes for this game are different than where they like vying for the bye. It's like the Bills are essentially executed if they can't win this. Maybe not mathematically. We can keep talking about them, but it's like
not for real.
Yeah, in a way, in a sense, for real for me. Like, you can't if they can't.
But not for real for me.
Well, no, they would continue to exist in Western New York. They're probably really nice.
Speaking
you know,
of which,
homes,
I need to offer an apology. I called Squid Games. Is that what it's called?
Squid Game.
You had the wrong country attached to it.
I called it Japanese. Right. It is a South Korean product.
But also, I'd
and
say...
I apologize.
Squid Game.
You know, and Greg has a lot of, you know, he knows a lot about the Japanese culture, didn't jump very, into correcting yeah, there. But, that's what people were saying. I'm not saying that.
You know
that's what?
What
people were saying.
You know what?
People.
Good call.
Yeah.
Greg, come on, bud. Help me out. You've been to Japan many, many times now.
How many TV shows do I
Your wife is Japanese. You got to jump in and help me out there and say, well, I know my Japanese exports, and that's not one of them. But you hung me out to dry, maybe on purpose.
You're a dyed-in-the-wool American, and we don't doubt that.
I don't know what's going on outside the borders of
Greg
the continental.
Greg is, you know, multicultural, and it would have been a nice spot for you to help.
I've last watched like a TV show that was not part of what Patrick Claibon would be called the Lachéverse on Netflix. Like, you know, about a year ago. So you can't ask
the
me to...
The Shavers? What is that?
I'm not certain what that means.
That's The Ultimatum, Queer Love. That's Love is Blind, you know. The
Those
Shavers.
Are the only shows you watch?
I mean, in terms of, like, TV shows lately, it's been a while.
You know, if you just invite us over your house once, we could have a nice
like
little,
sports,
like, binge
sports
session.
Sports, books, and a little reality, you know.
All right, where were we?
I don't know where to go with this. I think I was suggesting that the Bills to me
should be executed.
Well, yeah, because if you can't handle this spot, although like they are a different team on the road,
you can't
but,
do
like,
it anymore.
Just like how many weeks are we going to keep saying Josh Allen's the best quarterback?
Saying,
it's the best team in the AFC, well, no matter what.
Even if they win, they have the Cowboys next week, so it just stays very difficult. But I'm with you. They are. We should note Von Miller, who Dan, you know, mentioned last week on the show after his domestic violence arrest, is expected to play in this game. I'm a little surprised by.
Well, that's the weird thing with the NFL, because like the case is sitting in a place where they haven't ruled on it, and it's awkward to have him go out there. But it, like from a football angle purely, like the Von Miller's kind of not really been a factor.
That precedent,
like,
right.
And that's the problem. Like, I think like you're getting a good version of Josh Allen in some of these games, but not always the one you want. But I will say under Joe Brady, I don't know if it's because like we have no other choice to do this at this point, but what, 9 rushes for Josh Allen in their last performance? Like they were trying to kind of shy away from that and not have that be an element of their offense, but you don't have a choice now.
Well, it's mostly him, because it's not like they're called. There's a design run or two, and they've worked, but he also, I think, is kind of like, okay, it's go time. I got to start running. Remember he did that his rookie year? Suddenly it was like, oh wow, Josh Allen is awesome. And it's like at the end of every season, Josh Allen's like, okay, it's go time. I need to just start running. And I have concerns. You mentioned the good Chiefs defense. Are they a good defense? Like they started out well.
Good. They've been, are they great? Been, they were being presented as great.
They have been great. Yeah.
They're 25th in the league since their bye, according to EPA. I mean, that's only 3 games. It's a small sample size, but they haven't been a difference maker. Nick Bolton is expected to return, which I think is really big for them because they lost Drew Tranquil and they've been just injured at that position, but they might not have their left tackle, Donovan Smith. A man named Wanya Morris, who I was not familiar with, played 42 snaps last week or something and graded out very well. So maybe they don't need Donovan Smith.
If the Chiefs defense isn't good, I mean, they're going 10-7.
I think they're good.
They're going home in the middle of January.
Good, but are they like, you know, a huge difference maker? They haven't been against like the best offense.
Kansas City Chiefs, what are you?
I think they are just what we're watching.
All right. By the way, this is for Eric, producer Eric. The Bills have never lost after the bye under Sean McDermott. The Bills also have the 5th highest point differential, plus 101. So those are positives. That's like, what's your fan confidence 1 to 10 right now?
6.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I'd take that.
Feels very
on the
fair.
Road in Kansas City.
Yeah,
I would take that.
Andy Reid 16-1 in December with these Chiefs teams. So there's like clashing historical stats.
And finally, they're gonna have to put Josh Allen v. Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead. We're gonna have to put him on a delay, like a 2-second delay, just because there's gonna be kids watching, and it's not in like this is not Silk Stockings.
Right. This is not erotic.
Yeah. This isn't Channel 99 with the scrambler box. This is America watching this game, and we need to be clean, Tony.
Keep it together. I will come out of this game giving Romo some credit, because at this point, he has covered, I think, roughly 75 Patrick Mahomes games, and it's like you have to keep coming up with new things to say.
He doesn't, though.
That's the problem, but it's
he's doing it again.
I think he's having a nice comeback season.
I know you keep saying that, but
I think he saw everyone was getting on him, and you could see going into the games. So he has these little nuggets where that showed he did a little bit of.
Jim, look, he's doing it.
Boohoo, Chiefs fans. I had to watch Phil Sims do 75,000 Tom Brady games.
Yeah. Oh, you've been through the battle.
What a gauntlet tough. For you.
That was the game of the week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and use code ATN. That's code ATN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
All right, Mark, second overall pick.
Okay, we got to pick up the pick.
I'm going to go Seattle at San Francisco.
Interesting.
Late game. I kind of feel like we've talked so much about the Niners at this point that it's like, can you just keep it going? And you're kind of in a place where you could take Seattle almost completely out of the picture at this point. What's happening to the Seahawks over the last couple, you know, the last month or so tells me they're just not a playoff team. Can they sneak in the NFC? Sure. But I just don't trust them on any level. Their defense has fallen completely off a cliff. They lost to Baltimore 37-3. They completely fell apart against the Rams when they should have taken that game. The Niners are essentially their kryptonite. They played hard against the Cowboys, but it's like you still gave up 41 points. It's like you're a Pete Carroll team, and I don't trust your defense on any level. I think really the situation is that Geno Smith versus the Niners, the Seahawks versus this version of the Niners last couple of seasons, they just haven't shown up. And I want to say one quick thing about the whole Brock Purdy MVP situation is that there was a lot of talk about that he's just simply riding on a sled down a snow hill with yards after the catch. His yards after the catch numbers for MVP winners are less than Aaron Rodgers the last 2 seasons, less than Patrick Mahomes the year before that, and less, and those 3 guys. Like he... Yeah. they're less. So it's like that is
good
a bit
stat.
It's a bit of a phantom argument where it's like this isn't the only reason he succeeds. I don't want to have this conversation for the 18th time, but it's like it's not just this thing.
Well, then people broke out the screen passes are like four times more effective for him than any other.
I was going to say the irony is that the game that allowed him to move to the top of the Vegas odds makers, which is this Eagles game,
came off of that.
Yeah, this was a big yak game for the Niners, but I'm with you. Come on.
Yeah, I think
we don't have to make this case when he's now the number one favorite.
No, that's right. Yeah. I will say Seattle, the one problem they have too, which is not, you know, it's not on them in terms of their performance. They're really banged up right now.
Right.
They're pretty banged up.
By the way, Jamal Adams, bro, come back to us.
No, what? I know what you mean.
What an absurd thing for a human being to do. You have a Jets beat writer that you have beef with who quote tweets a shot of you failing to cover Jake Ferguson on any level. And then you reply by posting a photo of that reporter's wife.
Him and his wife.
And mocking her appearance. And then when you have a couple days to sit with it, and obviously there's a lot of criticism, and even your coach says that's not what we do, you don't back down? Like, that, you want to talk about La Raville Magnifique?
It is.
He said, when they go low, I go lower, which in a different circumstance would be a funny response, but not.
And the Jamal Adams Seattle experience has been D-.
Well, that's the problem is,
The gentleman's F might be too kind.
Right. He's emblematic to me of what's wrong with this team, which is like you can see him pop and have a splash play or two and be like, oh, yeah, Jamal Adams, he can make a difference. But the sum of their parts are really disappointing. 24th in DVOA. Pete Carroll just gets owned by two separate coaches in his own division. He's going to be 0-4 against them again unless they win this game. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. And I do wonder, like you were talking about hot butts, like there are always,
I was just thinking that
there are always surprises, but like if you're just completely owned by two coaches in your own division and your defense and you're a defensive head coach has been mediocre to bad for 6 years running, this is not a small sample size. He could be in a little bit of trouble. So he needs to somehow cook up something. And really, I think him cooking up something is, you know, hope Gino, and it'd be very difficult to do, Gino and the offense can just put up 35 again. Because I just don't think the Seahawks defense is going to be able to hold down the Monstars. It's not going to happen.
And if they put up 35, the desert has the Niners winning by 10.5 points. So that would mean the Niners put up.
But that makes sense. That makes sense.
45.5 points. Tough to do.
Because even that Cowboys game didn't feel sustainable. They have great players, but like Geno's was under so much pressure that night. He actually faced one of the higher pressure rates he's faced all season. So it's not like they suddenly started playing better. They just sort of played out of their minds for three quarters before, you know, falling in that. I don't know. It's just tough to do.
Doesn't it feel like the Chase Young addition, you know, has worked, where it's like it's added this like extra weight on offense?
That's the defense. That's the difference. That's the whole thing with me and Purdy is like he hasn't really been playing that much different all season. Their defense just stunk for 3 weeks and he was on the wrong end of some turnover luck for 3 weeks. Their defense, which everyone was killing Wilkes for, is number two in EPA since the bye, and they're now starting to dial up very game specific stuff. You saw that last week against the Eagles where they're getting very creative and their linebackers are just outrageously good and lets them do something different every week.
The Seahawks have one playoff win in the last 7 years. You know, they've been competitive, and Carroll is a great face of the franchise in terms of, you know, they love him obviously up there. But at a certain point, you need to see results again and deep playoff runs. All right, Greg, you are up.
All right. I will take the Ravens, favored by 7, at home against the Rams. Fun game. Big test here for the Rams defense especially, which has been playing really out of their heads. But going up against a Ravens run defense, which I think has gotten slept on like a little bit, that the worry with Greg Roman was like, oh, well, you know, you might lose something with the running game. They were such a special run attack. And their numbers this year are up there with some running attacks historically, like especially compared to what the rest of the league is, how far ahead they are compared to the rest of the league. It's right there or above actually where they were in their running attack in 2018 with Lamar Jackson. So it's like Lamar Jackson reminds they say in the NBA sometimes there's certain players like Giannis or Luka or whatever. Like it's like, oh, you step into the season and you like the baseline is 40 wins. Lamar is like a baseline top three running attack. Doesn't matter
football
what he does.
Completely different than basketball.
It's not always that different, Mark. And so to
for Mark, the, let the point go yeah, and
from
let's
a
just
previous
have a talk.
Show, but
for okay. the Rams that try to hold up for four quarters to me is a tough ask against a Ravens team that's been a weirdly injured team all year, but they didn't have a ton of season-ending injuries.
Sure.
And actually right now, they're almost completely healthy. Rashad Bateman was the only player out of 53 that missed practice on Wednesday coming out of the bye.
Hmm. Well,
that's
nice, though.
Know.
That's big.
Because how many – yeah, and it's been Lamar the last 2 years. Like, you want to see what this team could do at full strength.
Marcus Williams is a big guy for them. Now, up front, they've had guys in and out. They're healthy now.
They do have to work around the Mark Andrews absence.
That's a good point. I was totally wrong.
Could he come back?
They said
he's on
maybe
IR,
for the playoffs.
So, yeah, like so it would be late. But to your point, they're number two in EPA as a running team. They've been great. Lamar Jackson right now is having, I would argue, like I know he had the MVP season, but the version of him right now in this offense to me is more balanced. It's what you've been waiting for. He's never had a higher completion percentage or yards per attempt than at this point. You're getting a little more from Odell Beckham. Like Zay Flowers has been an absolute like green light as a draft pick. Their defense has been stout. Like they've only trailed this season 45 minutes plus the entire year. I mean, they're just a solid, good team. The Rams, though, right now are on a hot streak. Like, they've won three straight. They've scored 36-plus in the last two games. Matt Stafford has 7 touchdowns in his last two games. I think Kyren Williams changes everything they can do. And so this Rams team, to me, is sort of a berserker down the stretch that can really hang with anyone, it seems like. I kind of love what they did against Cleveland. I mean, to put it on Cleveland's defense that way, even though you're going to Baltimore, I think that there is a chance that the Rams can hang around in this game.
McVay versus McDonald. Just when the Rams have the ball, McVay versus Mike McDonald in this Ravens defense, who to me is the best defense in the league, is one of the most exciting matchups of the week. I don't think the other side of the Rams are going to be able to hold up to keep it close enough. Probably. But that is a great matchup, Danny. The revive McVay against this defense.
Okay, Greg. Yeah, I think the Rams are in a lot of trouble here. I think we could sell that, and maybe it will turn out that way. But I think the Ravens at home, Rams coming across the country, and I think Lamar, the difference between the MVP year, it felt to me a little more electric then, and it was like a little bit of a different type of Lamar.
A little unprecedented, too.
Yeah, and it was just like, this guy is outrageous what he's doing on the field, and he was just making people look stupid. Lamar now is like, I know it's like cliche, but he's like a more mature player, and you could see the way he's able to go through progressions, and I think that completion percentage you mentioned, that he's become a better passer, and when he needs it with his legs, he can go get it, but it's not like something, if without it, he is no longer a good quarterback. He's just a really strong, well-rounded quarterback, and I think one of the subplots, Greg, when you think about the offseason was, man, anybody could have had him. They really wanted him. They could have gone and got him probably.
They tried. The Falcons had to announce that they were not interested immediately. No.
And how foolish.
Who would want Lamar Jackson in Atlanta?
All those teams, how foolish do you feel right now?
I hope they feel foolish.
It is. I find the Rams interesting from another angle that, like, if you thought that they were going to succeed in a year where most of us had them winning, like, 4 or 5 games, that obviously it would be Stafford and, like, Cooper Kupp. And it's like, Cooper Kupp hasn't crossed 40
starting to worry about Cooper,
yards
that
since,
body.
Yeah, since like October 15th.
And he hasn't been healthy in 2 years.
They haven't been on the same page sometime. It has been a little bit of a bummer there.
All right, Greg, snakes back to you.
Okay, unconventional pick here. I almost took it right away. Wouldn't have mattered. They're both at the same time. Bucks, Falcons, 2.5-point spread. The Falcons are favored at home. I, you know, have a... dirty fascination with this terrible division. And this game just feels, I wanted to take it. I wanted to watch it live because now that we're getting later in the season, this Buccaneers team, which is as forgettable, I guess, as almost any team in the league, this does feel like a win or go home type of game. And I know, the Falcons could fall apart down the stretch, But this would give the Falcons a two-game lead over them with just four to play. And am I crazy? I should know this off the top of my head. The Falcons, didn't they beat them already? So it would be a two-game sweep.
16-13, yes. They beat them at week the buzzer. Seven.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the game where Bijan didn't really play.
Yeah, he had a headache.
And so everyone was confused about that. And I just look at this matchup and I see these two teams. I mean, he had like migraines or something.
It was
crazy.
Headache slash migraine.
He wasn't feeling well.
Don't these two teams?
That's what they said.
It's the same thing. But yeah,
like I know Mark wants to cross out teams,
right? Desperately.
This division, no one's gonna get crossed out. So the fate of this division is for them all to be 6-7 after this week. And for that just feels like that's the fate of this division. Saints probably get the win over the Panthers. And that for that to happen, the Bucs need to win this game. And they're catching the Falcons at a time where they probably don't have A.J. Terrell, who had a concussion. Jeff Okuda's banged up. Caleb McGarry, their tackle, is banged up. They had a bunch of injuries all of a sudden.
I want to see what happens with the Bucs injury report, because Vita Vea did not practice Wednesday with a toe injury. We'll see. Sometimes that means nothing. But Jamel Dean, Devin White also did not return to practice this week yet so far. I think that's your defense right there. That matters a lot.
Levante David return, which that's big.
This game, so yeah, I think it's fair to look back at how it played the first time out, because I don't think they're that different than they were back then. Ritter played one of his cleaner games. He was 19 for 25 with 250 yards. He was good on the ground. He also lost three fumbles, though. So it's like no matter what, Ritter's going to do something to X out the advantage he's creating. But you do add Bijan Robinson to the mix. I don't know. I think the Bucs to me are just about as milquetoast and average as you could possibly imagine. And Mayfield, though, has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league on the road in terms of touchdown interception ratio.
All right, sell it. I like it.
So he's got 12 touchdowns and three picks on the road. Only Jordan Love has a better ratio. That's just from that one angle. But I think Mayfield battles every week. Mike Evans has battled every week, and they stay in these games. They were even with the Falcons this first time. That took a last-second kick for them to win. I just don't trust either team to do anything week after week.
And please, don't tell me about the Falcons and their top 10 defense. Like, go watch that game they just played against the Jets. They've been playing bad teams all year. So they're allowing 20 points a game. That's seventh in the league.
I don't care.
They're top 10 in yards per allowed a game. They're tied for first in rushing TDs allowed. Their third down percentage is second in the league. Their opposition red zone touchdown percentage is first.
Wow.
It's like great data points. But go look who they're playing. And if Baker Mayfield has a good Baker day, they're going to go to work on this defense and they're not going to look so hot. Okay. That's
why
rein it in.
And people get on me sometimes. So, I lean on the DVOA. I love the guys at Football Outsiders. EP.
Is he gonna?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Oh.
That's why I love them, though, because you gave all the basic bro numbers that the announcers for this game are going to say. They're 25th in defensive DVOA. So they're looking at
Don't
the numbers and the opponents and saying this actually isn't a very good defense.
Oh, yeah, they shut down Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian. What a performance on the road. Jonathan Vilma, come back to us. Vilma's having a bad year. We want to talk about people having a good year. Tony Romo bounce back year. Vilma is drifting away.
Okay.
Just a take.
Well, you mentioned that.
I'm not allowed to because Greg gets uncomfortable, but
no, I just like
away.
His spirit. Like, oh. I don't think he's like elite, but I like his style that he just has a lot of
energy. Think some of the spirit we've lost. We've lost like the Jesus Christ and some of that fun stuff. And what we're left with is, I don't know.
The Falcons would be 4-0 in the division if they win this. I do want to
that matters.
Give a quick shout out. Kalijah Kancey was a defensive rookie of the month in the NFC last week. And man, he was flashing last week. So that looks like a very nice pick there by the Bucs. Good job, Kalijah Kancey.
Great. All right. Keep moving. Let's keep moving.
Please.
Let's keep moving. Mark, back to you.
All right. I'm going to take an early game. I'm going to go Browns at Jaguars. TBD on the Jaguars starting quarterback. I don't think we're going to get him. What do you think? Like, it sounds to me like a real stretch.
It's really difficult for us where we're taping to state it one way or the other, but he's got a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, I think that's a lot.
On a short week.
I think
they've talked about
under
it.
50-50.
They've talked about it in like a weird fashion where it's like they're providing hope. I am totally with you. I don't know how like even the human body would do that, although those high ankle sprains are all different. So you're going to get CJ Beathard in Cleveland. I think.
Say Beathard?
Yeah.
You used to say Beathard, remember?
I did not used to say that.
No.
Did you see Brett Rypien signed with the Jets?
I'll shift to say Brett Rypien now. If I must be told how Correct. To how to say things.
Go ahead.
Beth Hard. Bethard.
Yes, he did. He was okay when he played. I mean,
the
he
lineage
almost fumbled.
An incredible Washington general manager. You know,
he almost fumbled away the first snap of the game and would have lost the game. But he didn't. He wasn't out of his depth.
He wasn't bad. That was a weird game. I mean, it was a weird place to come into the game. Like, I kind of think that Cleveland's defense has floated away. The Denver game was unappealing. Last week was unappealing. I don't believe that Myles Garrett is healthy. Amari Cooper is banged up on offense. Like, Flacco looked probably as good as you could possibly hope for last week, outside of the one fatal interception that doomed them. I feel like Cleveland's just trending down out of this playoff race a little bit. And so this is an incredibly important game, and they're fortunate to face potentially a backup quarterback. I don't trust them. I think their defense is veering away from special. They have Denzel Ward back, which matters, but they have been banged up. But it's like they are literally the
second. They're going against CJ.
But if you get Bethard,
that matters. Then you're
at home,
excuse.
Right?
But they have been the worst.
That's kind of how they built up a lot of these numbers. They've been the second bad quarterback.
Right. They've been the second worst passing team in the league, second or third all year long, and it's looked like it. They're about to become the Browns. They were about.
I thought we were saying they were like
on offense.
On offense. And like they are. There's a weird stat. If Flacco starts, and he will, like they will become just the 13th team since 1950, which is 73 years ago, to have four different quarterbacks start multiple games in a season. A lot has to go wrong for that to happen. So from that angle, I'd give Kevin Stefanski, the coaching staff, and the team a lot of credit to even be where they are and still in the hunt at the number six seed.
Is it just me, or has Cleveland gotten a lot of these games where a starter gets hurt and then they all of a sudden are playing a backup?
Yeah, but you know what? If you look at all these playoff teams, they've all gotten those games.
And a lot
of them. The whole league has gotten those.
I'd love to see that data point.
Right. They've also been the team that's been without their starting quarterback through 80% of the season. So
what I'm saying is with their defense. That is, I think something similar happened with the Jets last year when they got a lot of backups
and kind of a hob up.
I mean, they have been a good defense beyond that.
When they've had bigger matchups and scarier teams, the defense all of a sudden doesn't look so historic anymore. So, but take care of business here. Let's go.
Well, what happened to Jacksonville's defense against a backup last week?
I've never totally bought in to Jacksonville's defense. I think they're solid, but I would be worried about them. Tyson Campbell, who is supposed to be their number one corner, really good player, but then got hurt and came off that injury and just didn't seem right last week. Joe Flacco threw the ball downfield 10-plus yards more than any Browns quarterback in the last 5 years. So he's out there, and he's got to sling it, and you need good pass protection to get that. And teams playing against the Jaguars usually get pretty good pass protection because it's Josh Allen, and that's about it in terms of their pass rushers. Overall, one of the most disappointing pass rush teams in the league. And I really think the Christian Kirk injury, and maybe Walker Little, because now they're on their third left tackle, got a little overlooked because of Trevor. And it's disappointing. Trevor was playing so well the 3 weeks before that injury. But losing Kirk and Trevor and potentially your left tackle, that's a cascading. I know, I'm not locking up the Browns, but they are favored by 3 in this game. I don't know if that makes you feel any better.
I mean, the spread never makes me feel anything.
Okay. I'm just saying they're not underdogs in this game by any means, is what I'm saying.
How's Cespice doing?
Well, I'll say one thing that we are doing.
Who's Cespice again?
I don't know.
It is I combine with Spice Rack.
Yes.
The longtime, lifelong friend of Chris Wessling and our friend as well. We combine now to make picks on the NFL's website. And what we've done is gone totally rogue from what you'd hope people would do. Like this week, we were the only team that picked the Titans. And so you get that fan base all on your side. But then last week, Spice Rack, and I think he had a post Joe Burrow, he was anti Bengals, and he picked them to lose 33-0.
How'd that go?
That went poorly, as we all know, the way that game turned out. There are a lot of people tweeting both of us asking, what on earth is happening here? So
I reached out to some people behind the scenes here.
Oh, yeah.
Greg, to get
where
they actually rank in the standings.
Well, because the standings say the top 5, and then it's like a participation award. They won't list 6 through 10 for some reason.
And this is actually good and bad for you, Mark.
Okay.
The good thing is, We don't know where you actually are in the standings.
Okay, good. That is good.
Because this person that I reached out to didn't feel comfortable giving me the full rundown. The bad news is it must be really bad for him not to do that.
So I don't disagree, but I will, and I say, like, from the angle
if
that,
you were one game out of fifth, he probably would have told
but so,
you.
Yeah, so there's two ways to play this, just to be real. And, like, when Greg goes and makes picks on his television show, right?
Right.
He is, debut, like, Friday.
You're like,
out.
You're so, he's, it's, his entire world is based around that.
Right.
That's what you think?
Yeah. Sess and Spice picked four overtimes this game, overtime games this week.
I instinctually agreed with him. So
no, but we
maybe.
Like, we just like, we picked the biggest underdogs we can to create that moment out online.
Although
where it's like we're
him.
The only team picking like the
all right,
worst.
Tommy
team.
Lee Jones, take us away here. I shouldn't have brought it up.
It's called being a showman. Showmen. There were two of us.
The internet's on fire. All right. I'm up.
I wouldn't say that, but.
All right. I got a two pack here. Let's start. With the team of Around the NFL, let's get a little Dick Banks. Let's hear him. Let's go. Let's go. It's time. It's time for the Vikings to show us why.
Who will be the team of ATL?
You could take that down. I like that O'Connell stuck with Dobbs.
Yes.
Because, yes, it was a wretched Monday night game. And is that within Dobbs's rainbow of outcomes? Yeah, we got the worst Dobbs. But let's not forget that Josh Dobbs has done a lot of good things for the Vikings before that. And before you go and get so caught up in your feelings about how poorly he played in that Bears game, let's give him a chance with Justin Jefferson. And if things don't work against a Raiders team that is middling at best, go ahead. If you're so excited about the rest of your depth chart that you've been developing, I understand it, that these coaches are excited about the guys on the depth chart typically. So go ahead, but give Dobbs this chance. So the Vikings, who seem to be in the driver's seat, Mark, for a wild card spot, now kind of you need this win because I could see this spinning out for them if they don't find a way to win on the road here against the Raiders.
I think it's like we celebrated Josh Dobbs for in multiple spots over the past, you know, calendar year, rolling into town and like winning games 3 hours after showing up and like putting a uniform on. And then it's like it's unacceptable that he has a meltdown. It's like it seems very probable that a meltdown would occur. And it didn't look good, but I still think the things that we know about Josh Dobbs remain true. Like an incredibly smart quarterback, a guy who probably over the course of the bye week that came at the perfect time, has learned a lot more than other quarterbacks might over that course of that time. That the coach, something happened where if O'Connell lost faith in them in that moment, and that was that, you're right, Greg, that you mentioned it on Wednesday show, a terrible fourth pick, but like this is a quarterback you can still believe in. It's better than their other options. Justin Jefferson is practicing in full for the first time, you know, in 8 weeks. Like, it's arrow up, and I don't know how you could possibly argue to go to a different quarterback. You should beat this Raiders team. I don't really care that it's on the road that much. It's like the Vikings, to me, are spicier on defense. Like, there's just, let's just get back to who we were.
Right. Here's what we know about the Vikings. With Jefferson back, him and Addison are up there with the best 1-2 combinations in the league.
Addison's a big-time player.
I love Addison. Hockenson's having a really nice season.
Hell of a tight end.
Josh Dobbs adds a little bit to their running game, which has struggled. But his running ability is going to add a little spice to this whole mix. Kevin O'Connell's a good head coach. We know he's a good head coach, and he's had a week to get ready. And, oh, by the way, on the other side of the ball, you got safeties coming out of your pockets.
Uh-oh.
Well, how many safeties can you put on the field? 17? Brian Flores will
11 max.
Do it. And you know who's been buying tickets this week to Las Vegas? Minnesota Vikings fans.
Oh, yeah.
Who are sick of being in that cold weather up there, and they're going down to Vegas, and they're going to watch Vikings lock it up.
Samesies.
Oh, God.
You're double it up, baby.
Are you doing this again?
Double it up. And another one. And another one.
You cannot be doing this again.
With Greggy. Let's check out the standings, by the way, while we're here. All right. So we got Greg and Dan, 12-1. The West Brothers, 10-3.
In quotes.
Sessler, 7-6. And then Dan hands us 6-7. We
in
know there's
quotes.
All sorts
in quotes.
Of.
Yeah, you got to watch for the. Well, I thought the season. You're inconsistent here because you only joined me a week ago. So you're
it says Greg and Dan 12
Greg
and 1.
Greg and Dan are 1 and 0.
I do not. I'm not responsible for the graphics. Okay.
Yes,
so
you are.
We
are having a very nice season, and let's just close it out. I guess is all I can
mean,
say.
There's a
point.
Lot of weeks to go. I'm fine with you on board. I have to admit, you've already won in some ways because I thought about you this morning. As I debated,
you're gonna lock against the Jets.
I thought
you were gonna do that.
I thought about locking against the Jets. It's only 3.5, and then I was like, that'll make you annoyed. But then I thought, what if the Jets win? Actually, you'll be happy. And then it was, but you know what? I ultimately am a cold, calculating son of a gun, and
in my heart, I
believe in the Vikings winning that game more than I do in the Texans. Actually, in my heart, I do believe
really?
The Vikings are the best. Pick on the board. That's what I always do. I'm not a showman, as you point out. It happened to work out that I'm believing in a team of ATL. But I believe they're a much better team than the Raiders, who might be Max Crosby's not practicing, Colton Miller. I believe they're better.
We don't wanna do a rainmaker on the Texans this week. I think you and I can get behind that as a rainmaker too.
This is absurd. The thing that's terrible for Greg is that no matter what, let's say Greg wins the title, it will go down as history as a co-win.
No, but it will not go down in any history.
Within a month, you will have spun the message that you lifted Greg up down the stretch.
I know I'm an ass. I just want everyone to, when I'm gone one day, remember me as a lovable ass. That's all I ask.
That's fair.
Not the bad kind.
That works out.
Okay.
One Raiders note, just to give them, their fans, just 1 second about their team. I'm intrigued by Aiden O'Connell coming off that last Chiefs game. Played very well in that game.
In general, the Raiders have been a professional unit.
This is a tough
Way
spot.
Under
this
Pierce.
Is a tough spot under against Flores. Patriots. Oh, the coaching tree's so bad. How about a little Patriots assistant off here? Patrick Graham of the Raiders, the defensive coordinator, versus Brian Flores.
Now that's a sell. That is a sell.
Long-time assistants together.
Anything else on this game? So, what are the chances we get Jefferson?
I think 100%.
All right.
I mean, I think they wouldn't be doing this unless
he's practicing
they were
fully.
Ready
he's
to
officially
go.
Active.
This was for me when I felt good about Team of ATN. Jefferson returning was kind of like what pushed it over the finish line because there's not a more fun wide receiver to watch in the sport than Double J.
The Team of ATN brand needs this win.
Big time. That's a pretty good narrative if they lose too, because we get to go down the. See, you spiraled once upon a time. With the Vikings, I could see entertainment value out of this team spiraling as well.
Yeah, but it's not on me this time. I was getting blamed left and right. Like, oh, so, like,
no, you
we
pushed
voted,
that through legislation.
No, we voted.
A few
years back. We voted unanimously. But it's Mark made a
Remember
bad
how
decision.
Hard
and
Mark
I'm getting
pushed
text,
that one a few years back. Getting, he's like, all right, Mark.
Now I'm
all
getting
right.
texts left and right about like a team that I have nothing to do with is failing. Like this is not. I'm not that vicariously attached to anything. So
are you attached to the Vikings
this time? Yes, I really like the Josh Dobbs element the most.
Okay.
That's what pulled me in, yes.
That's all we need to hear because we're in this together.
I've not said a single word otherwise. I just say they need to create a little more juice.
And you know, it was probably a really rough 2 weeks for Flores and for O'Connell, who blew that game together as much as anyone on the field.
Hand in hand.
And you had to sit with that and stew over that for all that time. So I know that they're not going to coach harder on Sunday, but you know if you've ever been motivated to clean up your own mess,
they're more talented. They're better. They should.
I feel good about this one, Greggy. I think we're going to keep on rolling. I will keep on rolling. Did we say the spread on that one, by the way?
Yeah, Vikings by 3.
Okay. Let's keep on rolling. Let's talk about that Texans Jets game. It is Texans. The spread. The line actually moved down with the announcement from Robert Saleh that Zach Wilson is playing.
Which that was interesting.
I think it's
fair.
It's fascinating because Wilson was, you know, amongst the very worst starters in the league before he got benched. But that tells you how badly the Jets managed their backup quarterbacks underneath him to the point where they cut Tim Boyle this week. Tim Boyle was their starter on Sunday. They just said, oh, you know, this guy that we brought in and developed all through the offseason. Aaron Rodgers is a guy like has such little value after we got a look at him. He gone. So now they got Brett Rippin, who, by the way, was talking with our friend Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic. Rippin is a class act and a really good dude and a hard worker. But the hope for Saleh is that Wilson takes them to the finish line and they could get a couple wins here and keep their dignity. The Texans, this is they're the story here. Nice setup here for them, Greg, to keep rolling. Now it is interesting. We are now in the post Tank Dell era, and how does that change their offense moving forward?
Yeah, I want to see John Metchie or Robert Woods step up. I don't think they'll be the same. When you take away Dell, you're stacking parts of this team offensively that you do worry about a little bit. You don't have a running game, and then you don't really have great receiver depth if Dalton Schultz isn't back this week behind Nico Collins. Because I'm thinking of that play at the end of the first half, I believe it was, where Stroud overthrew Metchie for the touchdown, wide open. And everyone was like, oh, that, you know, Stroud making a mistake for once. And I did wonder if that's Tank Dell. Yeah, it was kind of like an improvised play. Would just the feel have been better? He was like, he points to go deep. I don't know. There's no way to know that. The good thing is that their defense and their pass rush, Will Anderson, Jonathan Greenard, I think are getting better. So I think the defense is getting better, and they're playing obviously one of the worst offense in the league. So go win by two scores. I mean, I like the Texans. I think they're a better than average team. But John McClain pointed out of the Chronicle, or it used to be the Chronicle, that I think it's 7 straight games has come down to 30 seconds or less for the Texans. So it's not like they're a dominant team. They're a fun team. And it kind of would, that's why I didn't want to lock this game. It kind of wouldn't surprise me if the Jets D balls out, and I would expect the Texans to win that last minute, but it wouldn't surprise me if it comes down to that last
minute. Can they score 14 points? Because I just don't see the Jets getting to that
right
number.
Like, I kind of expect it's going to be Zach Wilson needing to get a touchdown down 4 and they're driving and it doesn't work out. But a game like that.
Yeah. I feel like every Sunday, you know, in the witching hour, we're watching like either C.J. Stroud or the opponent of C.J. Stroud go up and down the field trying to do one last thing. Each of these games have done that. I kind of think, though, from another angle, coaching and players and a lot of young players, like, they've also gone 3-2 in those games. A nail-biter loss to the Jaguars. They were nipped by the Panthers. I know they want that game back. But it's like they're in these games and they're learning to win in weird ways. And I kind of like that about them. I think that overall the development of this roster is one of the better stories around, because like they're drafting well. Like Will Anderson is a genuine star.
He's got that dog in him.
Absolutely. Like Stroud, we know about him. But it's not just that. It's like Derek Stingley, you know, 2 picks last week, a total game changer.
Or in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's just like, it kind of feels like a team, and I know I've talked about them a lot. It's like, I think they're going to win a playoff game.
Win a playoff game, yeah.
Maybe multiple ones.
Maybe multiple
I really ones. Think they're going to get coach of the year. They're going to get assistant coach of the year. They're going to get offensive rookie of the year if Stroud doesn't do something more Ooh. Than that. Offensive player of
gonna?
The year. Well, why not? Like, what? There's no reason that Stroud
lock it
could
up.
Be.
Money in the bank.
I think Stroud is at, like, there are not
oh,
a lot
Stroud.
Of good, Stroud. There's just not a lot of good stories out there. And Stroud's actually, it's not just a story. He's like legitimately one of the future quarterbacks of the league.
Well,
like,
I did look see beyond? He's minus 9,000 to win rookie of the year. So that one, you can lock that in.
How about Nico Collins?
Minus 9.
Nico Collins has been awesome.
Let's talk about Nico Collins here.
Yeah.
Because, they lose Tank Dell, their leading receiver. No. He's not their leading receiver. Tank Dell's been tremendous, 47 for 709 and 7 touchdowns. Nico Collins is 9 yards away from 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 6 touchdowns himself. He's averaging nearly 17 yards per catch. That is an all-pro type season. Nico Collins. It's like him and Jordan Addison are like, hey, look at us. Give us more love.
Yeah.
Hey, we did a Nico Collins bit on NFL Plus in week 3 or 4 after the catch. You can't remember guys that tall that break that many tackles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's tall. This guy's bounce off him.
Nico Collins could have 1,500 yards receiving.
That's crazy.
He's really under
the radar. I thought you were going to lock it up. That was what we were waiting for.
Uh-oh. Somebody's going to lock it up.
Well, I don't. I feel like locking against, again, like,
I'm
so out of the race. No, but I'm so
way.
Out of the race. It's like, I want to do things that are
more
exciting.
Fun. More fun.
Locking against the Jets feels gutless.
That's your choice?
I have seen today's video, so keep the I don't take it personally mantra in your head, because it is kind of a doozy.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, heroes. Damn, this week you guessed it. I'm picking against the Jets. I jokingly said earlier in the week that Dan should get into shape and try out to be the Jets' backup quarterback. Well, I'm guessing they almost gave him a call this week, since Zach Wilson didn't even want to play this week. But somehow he's going to be the starter. I mean, are you kidding me? This team's an absolute show. How can they even be considered an NFL franchise right now? This is a joke. how they're only 3.5-point favorites is beyond me. The Texans are going to roll by 30. This isn't even funny. I don't even know why I'm laughing. It's a disgrace. Good luck, Jets. Better luck next year. Bye.
How much did he seem like dick. Chris Wessel right there? That was so Chris Wessel.
Yes.
I mean, they're the
sounds exactly like a laugh.
They're the two brothers that resembled each other the most from that.
Oh, for sure.
I'm annoyed at Nick because he just made me have to root for the Jets. On
I mean, Nick locked up the Jets not too long ago.
Yeah. Well.
No. Listen, as I said to MJD, who tried to like get on me in the film room on Sunday night. With some Jets pop. I was like, you can't kill someone who's already dead. Mm. Like, there's nothing you could do to me that is anything worse than what that team has done to me for 40 years. So that's a smart lock by Nick Wessling, and you are going to be probably close to correct because that could get gnarly. Could get real gnarly. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll finish up.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right. Welcome back. Let's close out this draft. Mark, you're up.
Well, I'm going. I can't believe this game's still sitting out there. I'm going Colts at Bengals. I mean, what?
Nothing.
No, nothing. Like, we knew, like, Nick was covered it, so just going to stay away from
Although I just, this is for post-show, because now I realize I'm going to have, like, four early games.
I mean, I think behind the glass, they know I picked this game, like, 25 minutes ago, but that's okay.
It makes you look really... Like a trenchant decision by you. That's good though.
I think it makes me look like a strategy man, like a star.
I know, but we're gonna have to flip around games now. I realize actually.
All right. Well, that has nothing to do with.
All right, so yeah, say
you're people up. Driving around
and
listening to this nonsense.
The next pick, Mark.
This game suddenly it's like backup in December. Typically, backup versus backup is like check you later. But Gardner Minshew has I know he's a little bit all over the map, but he's been. Really great for the Colts, considering that he's been a backup quarterback all year long. And Jake Browning, I mean, I guess the huge interest level for me is like, whatever we just saw happen on Monday night, which is pretty he threw for more yards than Burrow did this entire season in a game. And, you know, it's like you find out later that the words about the fact that the team, Zach Taylor and everyone else, really believed in him wasn't just nonsense, that this guy is like kind of built neck up confidence-wise a little bit differently, that he spent all offseason with Burrow, with Jordan Palmer, who's a pretty good quarterback coach, and that they said Jordan Palmer was telling people before Monday night, like on air, don't just discount this guy. And you could see it a little bit against the Steelers, but it was, you know, it's your first time out there, it's a tough defense, and like it was like in little flashes. He looked like a B-minus quarterback, but then what happened against a pretty good Jaguars defense is remarkable because I think they're running the same offense and suddenly, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is back totally lit up. T. Higgins is there. They're not getting a lot from the ground game, but he's doing it through the air. And it's like the Bengals to me are back in the race. They matter a lot. This is two playoff contenders and this is a spicy game. I'm not saying that either one of them you can project as like AFC powers, but they do matter if you care about the fact that seven teams make the playoffs.
Yeah. Cincinnati they are still in a lot of trouble because they're 6-6, but they have a really bad conference record. They have a lot of tiebreaker issues. So it's still an uphill climb. However, the Browning makes them a team that's watchable and interesting. You don't want to get too caught up with one good game for a quarterback because that happens all the time also, and then all of a sudden he's back to looking average. So we'll see. And that's part of the intrigue of this game is he come down to earth or what? But, Greg, he's at home. The Indy defense is not a group to be terrified of. So I think it does set up well. If he plays really well, then, wow, we got something cooking here.
I'm really excited about this game. I think this was a great late pick by you, Mark.
Awesome, Mark. How did you see it?
For multiple reasons.
491 yards they had on offense, 27 first downs. I mean, everyone stepped up around him. The offensive line had one of their best games of the season. It was second in the league in pass rush win rate last week.
Ty Boyd did not step up, but everybody else.
Okay, you're right. Jamar Chase, though, was incredible. We almost gave him a little short shrift in that recap because a lot of those catches were difficult. He was making plays after the catch. He obviously had the bomb. I mean, that was like a star wide receiver can make everyone around him look better. And the running game, adding Chase Brown, like, They would make the season a lot more fun if they have a little staying power. And I know Colts fans feel like we haven't given them enough credit. There is something to them. Yeah,
we talked about them a lot,
but it's just like there's something to them that it's like, how are they doing this? I don't understand. I kind of want the Bengals to win this game for these teams to both be 7-6 and to kind of both be in the mix, but not to. I want Cincinnati part of our life.
You want more mundane average play. You want
no. I just want. I don't want the Colts to put the Bengals away here. I want the Bengals to be a fun story.
I like the research guide getting going off here. Gardner Minshew and Jake Browning, who both started the season as backup QBs, will face off against each other for the first time since the 2018 Apple Cup.
It's crazy. Jake Browning was like a senior at that point.
Yeah, Browning, who finished like sixth in Heisman voting as well, by the way, with Washington once with a bunch of stars.
We watched that Apple Cup together, you and I.
Yeah, every second. And then we DVR'd it and watched it again.
State. Well, yeah, well, you got to break it down.
Yeah, Minshew was Washington State. Yeah.
I love Steichen, though, because maybe more than any coach in the league, when the plays happen, you can kind of see, oh, that's exactly how they were hoping it would happen did it in walkthroughs. Like, it's just these cool plays that usually end up with like Kylan Grayson getting 40 yards and you're like, oh wow, that was beautiful. That was cool how they did that. And it's him a lot. And I think they're running a lot of creative stuff even with Gardner Minshew. And that's a credit to the coaching.
The Colts, to their credit, and again why Browning balling out here would be a real eye opener to do it two times in a row. They've been very good on defense during this run. They're averaging less than 5 yards per play in the last 4 weeks. So all wins. So they're coming together, like you said. I think Mark Steichen is definitely in that conversation for Coach of the Year.
I think I've billed 7 or 8 coaches as Coach of the Year at this point.
I mean, you can't be wrong. Well, you can be.
Well,
but
I probably still
right.
could be, but yeah.
I think D'Amico Ryan's is the favorite.
Got to pick one.
Steichen.
I'm going D'Amico as my. I don't.
Why do you hate Shane Steichen?
It's a fair question.
Okay, let's go. Greg.
Bengals, by the way, are favored in this game. No, they're not. They're underdogs at home. Colts getting 1 point. I don't like that. I'm taking.
Can we bring some rain?
I'm taking the Bengals straight up for sure.
That's unusual. I'm surprised that's the way they went.
Guess they've been winning. All right, let's go on. I need a late game, so I will
take... Some teams just know how to win ball games.
Broncos at Chargers. Chargers getting 2.5 points.
I can't imagine watching the Chargers. I couldn't even imagine it.
I know. This goes against what I was saying, that I like these late season games where it's like the season's a bit on the line here. The Chargers feel just about donezo if they get to 5-8. Or that would be their record, right, if they lose this game. In the division, and yet this game still does not really excite me too much, I have to admit, as well. The offensive line's been a disappointment for the Chargers in terms of their pass protection, certainly in terms of their run blocking, and Staley said this week he might consider playing Josh Kelly a little more over Austin Eckler, so that is a bad sign, which I get, because if you look at the numbers, I was trying to find a good Derrick Henry stat. He's very high in yards after contact. I think he's like second or third in the league. Derrick Henry's still great. And, you know, I saw on that list, I was like, Josh Kelly was sixth per catch. I was like, oh, maybe we should get a little more Josh Kelly. And so maybe Brandon Staley was just reading my mind. Maybe. I was just at home alone.
Or he's been watching tape of Austin Eckler this year, going in slow motion, dropping the ball,
okay,
fumbling.
Okay, let's calm down. Let's be nice.
It's been rough, dude.
It's been rough.
Be nice.
Their offense is bad. Their offense is bad.
He's a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm not killing him. He seems like a nice guy.
He's a big part of it.
He's having a surprising down year.
That's what I mean.
It's so atypical.
And it's a contract year.
It's not that surprising because of his size and the workload that he's had the last couple of years. They were always careful with him, and then they finally juiced him up to like full-time status. And, you know, that's what happens.
From his overall body of work, he's been very consistent. Definitely. I mean, I think, like, you know, there's so much disappointment around this Chargers team. Quentin Johnson. I like it's kind of like I can't wait for the season to end for him. It's like every week there's like a killer drop.
He needs to turn the page off season and try this again.
I guess you wonder if he can actually do it. I mean, I know in that Patriots game, which was an eyesore.
Physically, he looks okay. He just drops every pass.
Yeah, but that's a problem. I'm not surprised that
he's not physically like N'Keal Harry, which just was.
Right, he's
like,
getting separation. It's actually making it even worse because these drops are coming with some space, and it's just like, come on, bro.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Brandon Staley, he's gone. We get it. But, like, I would say, if you look at this defense, since week 11, they're the fifth best point scoring defense in the league. Like, and like that Patriots game again was very weather bound, but it's just that I know the overall,
but
the overall thing is
typical though, because this team, the whole season and really the whole Brandon Staley era, their two sides never play well at the same time. It's like if one plays great, the other one stinks. It's like 41-38 Lions. If one plays great, the other one stinks. It's 6-0 Chargers last week. And it's just, I don't think he's gone though. They are the team that I'm like, just see. You never know. They could win this game, and
they have a really tough remaining schedule as well. And they've been very bad against teams that have been over 500 so far. And this will be of note, at least in this room. We'll see how Dangerous bounces back from a turnover marred game last week. Can he turn the page? Which he's good at turning the page, but get back to a more smart brand of football, protecting the ball, succeeding in the red zone. And beating a Chargers team that, quite frankly, this should be something you can do. Going to be a lot of Denver fans in that building as well, of course, across the
sidewalk. I was driving around and I listened to the AM radio, sports radio.
I know
and, like,
you do.
Well, there was this, like, they were doing an old school, like, trivia contest with a guy calling in. And the guy did very well, and he won all these. It was a bunch of Lakers and, like,
it must have been
questions.
Incredibly exciting for you.
Great drive time. But, like,
radio.
He won the contest, but the prize was, like, tickets, you know, deep, like, nosebleed tickets to Broncos Chargers, and I was thinking, like, does he want those?
Did they announce that they were nosebleeds?
I just assume they're not great tickets.
Come on, you got to put them in the 200 section if you're going to get
them. They're probably okay.
You can go online and find Chargers tickets for like $25.
At least at the front of the 300.
If you're a Broncos fan, you're in the playoff mix, you're in beautiful Southern California, you know, there's going to be a lot of people excited to be
there. This guy was from Southern. He was not a Broncos fan. It's like, how excited is he about, I don't know what he is.
That's the secondary market. Maybe you find some people coming in from Colorado.
Yeah, if you're from Denver, fly in, spend the weekend in, you know, L.A. and go
of course,
see
a
low-level football game.
With an NFL-sanctioned second vendor.
Yes, Eric?
Yes, of course.
Right now on third-party site, $33 will get you into Chargers Broncos.
What section?
500s.
Yeah, no. I've been up in the 500s.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Zumwalt watched the Cardinals-Rams game. Playoff game a few years back. We got to get down.
Walked up to where you guys were. I wasn't that, you know, right. You were far away.
$2.35, $1.30.
This actually isn't funny, but my neighbor, who's an elderly woman, very nice woman.
Yeah. It's not that isn't funny.
Her and her daughter went to SoFi for a Rams game last year. Didn't realize they were in the 500 section.
Had a heart attack.
Wait, what?
I mean, why are you telling this story right now?
She was okay.
We still have another game to go.
Greg, there are bad things in the world, and there are bad players and bad announcers, and it's okay to talk about them.
So
she's okay.
Are you saying...
Oh, she's perfectly
okay,
fine.
That's sort of the follow-up.
You're saying that Austin Eckler is the old lady heart attack of running backs.
I'm just saying the world is a scary place, and just hold the ones you love
surprised.
Tightly.
I was surprised where that story went.
I was surprised, too.
But that's why it's a good story.
Yeah.
I think it was an incredible story. All right, let's finish up here. Greg.
We still got two games left. So the Lions, we haven't taken that game, right?
No.
This is probably going to be Dan's game. Just letting you know, I'm drafting for you. Lions -3 at the Bears. Well, you need.
So why wouldn't you ask me what I would?
So because I know.
Just be nice.
Because I know you, buddy. And you said on this very program,
yes.
I don't want to watch the Panthers anymore. And the Panthers are the other option. And nobody wants the Panthers. So I'm sticking them with Mark. And you can have Lions.
All right.
Fun game. I had this game.
Is this an early game?
Just four weeks ago. It is an early game.
That works for me. Okay, good.
I had this game just 4 weeks ago. I found it incredibly entertaining because you got Justin Fields against a defense that's just not giving up a lot of resistance right now. And
I don't have a problem with this game.
He was the best player on the field that day.
Love it.
They should have won it. And then their defense collapsed and gave up 2 touchdowns at the end. I hope the Lions don't make it that difficult. Again,
absolutely love it.
But I don't know. I'm just worried about this team. This defense has been too leaky for too long. They put Aleem McNeil on injured reserve this week, and that is a reminder. This defensive line outside of Hutchinson just ain't getting it done.
Okay, how about this then? And Lions fans, plug your ears because you want this to be a special season. You're 9-3, right? For the first time since what?
Well, you got a
million years ago.
Yeah, like deep old America.
I define the way this is shaken out, and you never know what could happen with injuries and everything. I think success for the Lions this year is win this division, win a playoff game.
Yeah, but you got to win games like this.
Yes.
Which I don't feel incredibly confident.
Because I just don't think they're quite there yet, certainly not with the big boys in the NFC. But that doesn't mean the season is a failure if you don't go deep in the playoffs. Just like close out the division, which you should be able to do, and then win a game of the playoffs. And we're moving forward, another step forward for the Campbell regime.
And they won't be the 4 seed because the NFC South will be. And so that means you will avoid the Eagles or Cowboys, which is nice.
I think we're in a weird place with the Lions because it's almost like they were elevated a little bit beyond where they are, where it's like we just wanted them to be like the number 1 seed or 2 seed. It's like,
well, they're 9-3. They could be
the 1 seed. But then also there's this like all this fatalism around them because of their defense. And it's like, you know, we'll see what happens. I will say like no team other than the Commanders is giving up more points per game since week 7. So it's real. At the same time, I like look at a team that is like drafted well, like Sam Laporta is becoming a huge factor down the stretch. I believe that they're going to handle their business. I think they're really well coached. And there's something I haven't done on this show yet, so I'm going to do it right now. I'm locking that Lions team up.
I like that. All right.
What do we got for the spread?
3 points.
There's some good, there are some lockable games here.
And it's on the road. That, you know, Lions on the road.
I'll point it out, and the data backs this up. Jared Goff is not a good quarterback outdoors. He's not a good quarterback.
Maybe I shouldn't lock it up.
In December and January. He has a lot of trouble with that. In fact, I'll give you some data points. 8-13 outdoors in December and January. Completion percentage south of 60. QB rating of 80. When the weather drops and he is playing outside a dome, that production has historically dropped. So let's see. Goff is Goff a different player than he was with the Rams? I don't know. We're going to see now that we're getting into some crucible games for the Lions. Let's see if he can play the guitar.
It's one of those draft stories that feels so stupid, but then you hear this data 8 years later. He's got the small
hands. Old tiny hands.
He's in the bottom. I just found he's in the bottom 10th percentile.
Old
8th
THD,
percentile.
Tiny hands, Goffy, Mark.
I feel for him on that front.
They need to get J-Mo going. I feel like they're one weapon short on offense.
Isn't it Waymo?
Oh, yeah, Waymo.
Waymo, bro.
They're great on offense, but it's just, man, it's a lot to count on. Like, I guess you got the running game. They're interesting. Laporta.
Do you have that Waymo clip from last week? That was fun.
I love me.
Waymo after that incredible end around where he went 67 miles per hour. That was fun.
I feel like this Bears team is better. They're 4-8, but they're a pretty good 4-8. They're a little dangerous.
And like I said, Fields is another subject of intrigue. I think he really needs the ball out if he wants to stay with the Bears. I don't even know if he wants to stay with the Bears.
I almost presume he's gone.
But if he really does have some big games down the stretch, remember what an awesome stretch he had like last November, for instance.
Yeah, but that's not even been like he's had a couple moments like that or halves, but like what he did, had he picked it up from there, even just the running part of him,
right?
Like you'd see a lot, but it's like I just presume he's not going to be on the team next year. I mean, we will see. A
lot of questions there.
You mentioned Hutchinson, 1 sack in the last 7 games. that brilliant, Mark?
I think it's a good player.
Oh,
suddenly a score from last week.
I no didn't remembers. I spend 12 minutes saying I don't, you know, I shouldn't have used that word. You know, we already went through that all that business.
Greg, you always underestimate our audience. A lot of people know exactly what we're talking about.
Can I promise
about.
You our audience remembers and goes
no,
on to a lot of things. I can tell
I wasn't
you that
talking
from
about the audience.
Multiple angles.
All right, close it out, Mark.
All right. Well, I can't believe this is still hanging around. Panthers at Saints. It's like two faulty helicopters colliding in the middle of the sky. I don't know why last week I got Chargers, Patriots.
So the helicopters were distressed before colliding.
They were faulty, and Oofa. That's probably why the pilots were faulty, and that's why they collided.
You could have picked a game you wanted, but instead you tried to be cute and take the Shook game, and it came back to bite you.
Ooh, no,
it
was, right in the old
it
buttocks.
Was actually a very smart move.
Got your ace.
I can pair this. I can pair this next to Browns Jaguars.
There you go.
I don't know. I guess how about this? Like Saints, show up and do something and stop being totally bored. They're an eyesore. They're impossible to watch. They're one of the worst red zone offenses in the league. All I need is like when their fan base is that annoyed with their own team and they're you lose the pocket of the fan base that's even like illogically telling you they're great when they're not. Like there aren't those fans don't even exist for this
team.
You know
what I don't like hearing? We have to check in on the practice report for Thursdays, but Taysom Hill's not practicing.
Well,
and I feel a lot better about Jameis Winston being in the mix as the starter if you have Taysom to play off, who's had a really good year.
Taysom Hill has he has 346 yards on the ground, four touchdowns, 220 plus, and a touchdown through the air. He's not really even playing quarterback that much. And like, there's been previous seasons where we talked about Taysom Hill all the time. I had that one sandwich bet on how many touchdowns he'd have, and Sean Payton, fawned over. It's like this might be his best season in a way. On a pretty lost offense, I think he's been really reliable.
If he finishes this regular season strong, there will be generations of fantasy players that will talk about Taysom Hill's cheat code tight end season of 2023.
Yeah.
In a otherwise bad group of producers in that game, Taysom just does all these different things.
Derek Carr might play in this game because I think he was partial...
Somebody save Derek Carr from himself. Sit down.
So he's got a shoulder injury, a back injury. He's coming off a concussion. I mean, I don't know if we need to rush him back into this maelstrom.
No. And you mentioned the tickets you thought would be cheap here. You can get into the Superdome for $15. So,
but I'd do that.
Less than a...
You pair that
less
with
than a beer and a hot dog.
Have a nice weekend in New Orleans.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah,
in
the
like
French
that
Quarter.
I'd be a little concerned. If there's one thing that could get Gail Benson's attention.
Sure. Any owner.
In terms of the GM, too. Not just the head coach, but Mickey Loomis has as much power as any GM in the league. That could get their attention if it starts getting real empty. The boos there were very rare. Alvin Kamara mentioned he had never heard anything like that, and he said, look, I understand it. We're just not performing, but I've never heard anything like that.
And it doesn't help when you have people on the team joining in with the fans saying how much the team sucks.
Yeah, things have gone they're only giving the Panthers, who are a disaster, 5 points in this. And it's like, I guess it would be really nice
spot for the Panthers to get a win.
Yeah, but how about Bryce Young? If he could just string together a couple games where different, I just don't see how it's going to happen.
The Saints
are
still in the mix if they win this game.
They very much are.
But doesn't it feel like they are just a team that needs to hit the reset? And yet they're contending for the division.
Right, no false results. I think it'd be better for the team to probably flush a lot of this down the drain and start over. But they don't seem willing
to do
that.
Dennis Allen wins the division at 8-9 and comes back for another year.
Everyone wins.
The fans. send our thoughts to Hayden Hurst, Panthers tight end. Very sad that his father said he was diagnosed with post-traumatic amnesia as a result of a hit to the head. Brutal 3 or 4 weeks ago that caused a concussion, and these are some of the symptoms. So he's been through a lot. If you know his story, battling back from depression too in college, I think suicide attempt, I believe he had talked about, and this is just as terrible. It's a reminder what they're risking going out there.
Yes. Okay. Good luck to Mr. Hurst. That is the full Week 14 rundown. This is the Thursday triple header for ATN. So we're going to have an NFL Plus Dreamatorium app, which you can get on NFL Plus. And also, if you're outside the United States, you can get it on DAZN. We also will have a Thursday night recap of Patriots Steelers with special guests. We cooked something up. We told you people, Sessdog and I were going to cook something up. We got something.
We'll surprise them with the guests, though.
I like that. Yeah. And finally, what a great day this is, or week this is, because we learned that our hardworking, intrepid young producer, Sneaky Handsome.
I wouldn't say sneaky. I think like
I wouldn't
most
say backdoor, like side door handsome. Maybe coming through the front door. Good looking guy.
Kick the front door in.
Doesn't surprise me that he landed a wife, a wonderful, beautiful
it's
woman.
Not surprising.
And I guess it shouldn't surprise me that such a virile young man. They're
okay,
expecting.
Now you're getting weird.
They're expecting. Eric, congratulations, buddy. Look at that. Beautiful. You, your wife, and the sonogram. Great job, buddy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate all those compliments.
What is your wife's name, by the way?
Is Leanne.
Leanne.
And, yeah, the YouTube show, you could see we were holding our ultrasound of my baby boy, Austin James.
That's oh, awesome the name is name, all, yes. Oh, he's ready to roll.
We are, yeah, we're, you know, we're not young pups anymore, so we waited it out. She's a doctor, so she went to school. Went through the morning radio life, so we've been
found yourself a doctor.
Yeah, dude.
Look at you.
You just went up in Dan's eyes.
I'm not,
sure.
No, I'm not the breadwinner in the family, and I'm okay with that.
Every
okay?
listener is like, ooh, so, you got a doctor.
Well, what kind
too?
Of doctor? What is her?
She's a clinical psychologist. So she works with the courts and at-risk youth and way smarter than me. Kept going back to school for some reason.
That's the move.
Yeah.
Nice hey. Job. And
you can find a good woman that's a doctor, you are.
I don't know if you
want
all of our listeners on your Instagram, but you should. You have your own podcast. It's called the What's New Pod.
Yeah.
And I saw that this is how I learned of it. On your page, you put up a clip of you letting your co-host who you've done the show with for a long time, including Randy Chavez,
know.
And it was a great reaction. Everyone should check that out.
Yeah.
Seeing
What's
your
new
friends
pod? Yeah,
floored
by me and a bunch of my old buddies from my radio days. So it's
wherever you get
stuff.
Your podcast, check out the What's New podcast with Funk and Buds from the old radio station. And again, congratulations, Eric, to you.
Thank you, guys.
Leanne,
appreciate it.
There is nothing better.
No, and Eric, I cannot suggest more highly to have the followers of the show on your Instagram.
that's a way to get out of here, guys.
Let's go. See, the internet just breaks down the walls, Mark.
It does. Don't need a wall.
We're all in the same stew together now. All right, till later. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.